Alma chapter 22. We then return to the story or account of Aaron. And in the first verse, we learn that Aaron is led by the Spirit to go teach the father of Lamoni. And when he gets there, the king admits that he has been troubled and wants to be taught. So, I mean, this is important to see this, meaning that he has pondered these things. Many of us don't want to ponder the things of the Lord, but it would show he's a pondering man, and he does believe in meditating and thinking about these things. And that he desires to be taught. He wants to have knowledge, and he wants to know truth, and especially the truth that corrects and improves himself. He then asks why Aaron has not come to teach him, because remember, he had asked him to come, and they tell him that the Spirit told him to go to Ishmael. Now, notice the important thing here, that he's saying here that Aaron followed the Spirit, and the Spirit is more important to him. He doesn't listen to a king, or he only listened to the king only to the degree that it is all right with the Spirit. And now, does the king get mad at this? It doesn't even cross his mind. And he doesn't get mad that Aaron has not obeyed him. He doesn't get mad that all of a sudden, in the worldly sense, he sends some lesser men now to teach to him. This doesn't bother him at all. Immediately, he is interested in wanting to have the knowledge of God. That's where his mind is. He wants the knowledge of God, and he's not a respecter of men, and he doesn't expect them to be a respecter of men. He just wants the knowledge, and we begin to see that this king is of good character, and he is a righteous man, and he's been prepared by the Lord. And so he begins, and he says that he wants to know about repentance. And now, see, he doesn't want to know about all the spectacular things about God. And gee, Aaron, tell me all about the angel that you guys saw, and explain to me how angels go. That's not what he was interested in. He was focused on repentance. See, he wanted to overcome his own personal problems, and we begin to see how important this is. And again, how few people, even today, they really don't want to focus on themselves and correcting themselves. They're interested in everything else around them. Then we learn in verse 7 that he said that he lets the Amalekites worship God. Notice he believes in religious freedom. He believes if God is there, going to be their governor, then that's fine, or what? But notice, could we do that today? Would we say that we let one community? What if a community in our wanted to say that God was now their ruler and that He was going to tell them how to create their laws and so on and so forth? Would we allow that in America? No. We'd say you can't have God in your government. You can just go worship Him on Sunday. That's all we allow in our laws today. This king didn't care. He gave them their own kingdom. He said, okay, that's your area. You can do with what you want. So we see that we have a sign that he believed in freedom already. Well, then he goes on and he says that he will believe in God. And then he asked them in verse 9, is God that great Spirit that brought our fathers out of the land of Jerusalem? Well, that's not what the traditions of the Lamanites are. The Lamanite tradition is that Nephi and Lehi tricked Laman and Lemuel out of leaving Jerusalem. But to this king or to Lamoni's father, all he had ever received was a tradition by word of mouth. But as he heard these things, as he heard what was passed down, he knew that didn't sound right. He knew that didn't make sense, and he knew that just wasn't lucky that Nephi had built a boat and they had came across. He knew the hand of the Lord was in that. He could tell and feel it by the Spirit. We know that he was indeed prepared. And again, the Lord cares about all of us, and he is preparing each of us. And when we read this story, we're not reading a story about an evil man and his great conversion. We're learning about a righteous man and his continual progression. I can't overstress how important it is that he cared about repentance. He didn't care about all the other miracles or his power. He didn't care about anything else. He was focused on his own personal repentance, as we should be. Now, And here we could learn from him that if we open up our eyes and we're honest with ourselves, then we can see God in many things, and we can see his protection and his control in our lives, not that it's control, but his making of opportunities for us in our lives and doing things for us based on our keeping of our first estate. We can see see God in this world in our behalf if we just open up our eyes. And when I say that he's his control, meaning that the government, if we allow the Lord in, the government cannot control us, and the government and the people cannot force us into going to hell. The Lord is guaranteed that he will control our environment to the degree that we will have the opportunity to choose good and evil, and that we will have the opportunity to have the amount of growth in this life that has been agreed upon on the pre-existence, and that amount that we can have as we continue to choose and have a desire to follow the Lord and grow. Well, then in verses 10 through 14, Aaron teaches him from the beginning, all the way from the beginning through Christ, including the plan of redemption, just exactly like Ammon had done to a King Lamoni. And the point here is that this has showed us how we are to do our missionary teaching. But again, man has decided he knew better, and so he's began to change the teachings. Obviously, this Book of Mormon can't apply to us. We can do better than that. And so we change things. Well, in verse 15, then the king finally says, having been taught, he says, I will forsake my kingdom that I may be born of God, having this wicked spirit rooted out of my breast. I mean, he wants to come unto God. He'll give anything to do what? To repent, to get the wickedness out of himself. That is God's work. That is coming unto God. We want to come unto Christ so that we can cleanse ourselves. And now we begin to see why they continue to repeat, come unto Christ. They talk about the atonement. Why? Why do they talk about that? Because any righteous man is feeling inside of him. He's looking in and he's seeing sin after sin and wickedness after wickedness in his spirit. And he wants his spirit cleansed. And so he says there is a way, and the way begins by Christ being atoning for our sins. And any wicked man, anyone that feels that sin in him, knows that they cannot overcome it themselves. They have no capability. So they cannot repay it. So now they hear of Christ, they know they can, and then they say, not only now I know they can, and he has died for my sin, what must I do? Meaning they don't know what to do. We need Christ to prepare the opportunities and the experiences we need to help us overcome and get an identity, not only get to overcome certain sins, but to identify other sins and other weaknesses we have. And that's what he's saying here. He wants to cleanse his spirit. That's his desire. And when he heard of Christ, that's what it made him think of. But today, we just think of it just like the sects of Nehor. Well, I'm glad the Savior came, and now he's atoned for my sins, and now I go to church, and we've built these nice churches, and so everything is just hunky-dory, and I'm just happy as all get out. And that is how everybody looks at it today. Instead of looking at it like the King Lamoni, and then they say, oh, and look at that wicked father of Lamoni. My goodness, that king was a bad guy, and he really took a lot to change him, instead of finding out that it was his own desire to change that we haven't even built in ourselves, and that he, in fact, is the righteous man, and we have no right to be looking down on him. He's a righteous man who had been prepared by the Lord and had developed a tremendous character and had tremendous and learned what true value was. His value was in chaining himself. He could care less about the material things of this world and his kingdom and his glory that he received from it. These things are so important, and yet we look over them and we just run over the Book of Mormon and we don't see what's trying to tell us. But he was, again, an example, just like Zeezrom was and just like his son Lamoni was, that we should, in how we should repent. In verse 16, it tells us that process. It starts with a hope. That king had a hope. He wanted to cleanse himself, and he could see that he had hope. It would be great if Christ would allow me to do that. And let me start by repenting of some of the sins that I know clearly I should get rid of. And as I do that, let me, then I've started on that path wrath, and I will then come unto Christ. And then coming unto Christ means he will show me how to repent of even more things, that I might learn how to purify myself. That is what it's all about, is purifying the cells, and we go to the Lord. He explains it to us. We follow his Spirit. His Spirit tells us what we're to do in our lives, and then creates those experiences for us to purify ourselves. That is the work of the Lord, is working on ourselves. Well, then, having heard the words of Aaron then, and his encouragement, the king believes, and he goes down to the ground and humbles himself before the Lord. Again, he could care less about what the servants thought and the other Lamanites thought. What is the king doing, coming down off his throne and bowing down to the ground? He didn't care about that. He cared about what was right. He had continued to make a true value judgment. So again, now he has not cared about his kingdom, and now he has not cared about his pride or his position. And we'll see later, he doesn't care about his provision either. All he cares about is following the Lord, which, and in following the Lord, that means not going out and doing some great thing as we think that Aaron and Ammon are doing here, but following the Lord in cleansing himself. And this is what Aaron and Ammon had done, and this is what they were continuing to do, is progress themselves, and that was their message to everyone else. This is how I am cleansing myself. Let me tell you to repent and go on to Christ so that you may cleanse yourself. It had no intent of them trying to get glory off of that, or no intent of them trying to get anyone to follow them. Well, then we see that the queen comes in, and she sees the king on the ground. We've seen him. She follows after the world of her own eyes. And well, what is a king doing down laying on the ground before all these other men? Obviously, some evil has came to him. So they want her, the servants. She wants the servants to kill Aaron and the brethren there. And they're afraid. And when they're afraid, she becomes afraid. Again, everything's governed by the fears of man. And so in order to avoid a big contention, then Aaron raises the king, and the king begins to minister to the queen and the servants and others who have came. And then the king, after the king has told them his part, him knowing that he's not prepared to be a true preacher of the Lord, he turns it over to Aaron and the brethren to continue to preach to him. And then they, and after doing that, he wants them to preach throughout the land, which we'll see in the next chapter. And so he sends a proclamation out to the land. And when doing this and talking about the proclamation going out to the land, then we have in verses 27 to 35, it then describes the land for us, and it describes where the Lamanites lived and where the Nephites lived, and how they'd described that the Lord had been blessed the Nephites by giving them the choicest portion of land and a place where they could easily defend themselves against the Lamanites. And the Lord had definitely blessed the Nephites. And also we see, it also said that the more idle part of the Lamanites lived out in the wilderness in tents. So we begin to see also that the Lord's people are industrious, and that the Lord was preparing all these Lamanites that received the word, because he had made them more industrious and more concerned with building up their land. When we start to talk about building up land, they're not just thinking that they need more food or anything. They're thinking that they want a more comfortable place to live. And so they're concerned about themselves. They're concerned about others. They're taking enjoyment in their work, which means they're enjoying what they personally learn from it. And so again, there's some personal development in there. And all these things will go hand in hand in the idea of being an industrious people and building things up. And so, again, it's just a sign to us to tell us that these people had been being prepared by the Lord. They were a good people, and they were being prepared all along by the Lord.